This is a Shift Podcast Network production.
Welcome to Here and Back Again. I'm David O'Callaghan, and this is a podcast looking at all things releasing weekly on streaming and in cinemas with your usual, yes, pop culture bits thrown in. Okay, you've eaten all the chocolate in the land. You've survived April only for Fool's Day. And you know what? People, it's time to focus. Because there's no messing this week. No messing at all. I'll have no half-hearted efforts allowed because if you want to keep up with the insane quality and quantity of content releasing this week, well, you need to be at 110%. So, shall we begin?
What line of work are you in, Tom?
Accounting.
You're a very hard man to find.
He came to Italy, moved into Dickie's house. He just wouldn't go away.
You like art, Tom? You're in the right place.
You like art, Tom? Well, you're in the right place.
Tom is one of those people who takes advantage of people.
Ripley is the new psychological thriller series from Netflix based on Patricia Highsmith's 1955 crime novel, The Talented Mr. Ripley. Starring Andrew Scott as Tom Ripley, Johnny Flynn as Dickie Greenleaf, and Dakota Fanning as Marge Sherwood. We all know the story. A wealthy man hires a down-on-his-luck grifter named Tom Ripley to travel to Italy to urge his vagabond son to return home. But Tom's acceptance of the job is the first step in a life of deceit, fraud, and murder. Oh, yeah. Yes, I know what you're all thinking. 1999's feature film version of the movie with Matt Damon, Jude Law, Gwyneth Paltrow and Kate Blanchett was surely perfect. Why would you even go there? Who would even go there again? How about Steve Zaillian? This 8-episode limited series was created, written and directed by the man who won an Oscar for his screenplay of Schindler's List, also got nominations for Moneyball, Gangs of New York and The Irishman, and also was the creator, writer and director of HBO's stunning and quite wonderful series, The Night Of. If you have not seen that series, you need to find it. Probably on Sky Atlantic, The Night Of, absolutely stunning. This one is filmed completely in black and white and, as you can tell by my babbling, is your must-binge TV for the weekend and beyond. I have so much faith that it's going to be an absolute cracker. That's Ripley, which is now all up on Netflix.
Another beautiful day in California. Out here, I'm one of the good guys. But good and bad can be in the eye of the beholder.
All the leaves are brown.
John Sugar.
And the sky is gray.
I'm a private investigator.
They told me that you do one thing and one thing only. You find the missing.
In Sugar, the new noir thriller on Apple TV Plus, private investigator John Sugar investigates the disappearance of Olivia Siegel, the beloved granddaughter of Hollywood producer Jonathan Siegel. As Sugar tries to determine what happened to Olivia, he unearths the Siegel family secrets, old and new. Ah, yes, sketchy goings on from rich families. The big news here is, yes, our very own Colin Farrell plays John Sugar in this contemporary, modern and unique take on the private investigator subgenre, which Hollywood used to love years ago and kind of went a bit cold on. But it's back, baby, it's back. Amy Ryan, James Cromwell, Anna Gunn and Kirby Howell-Baptiste also star, while Fernando Morales, who did City of God and The Constant Gardener, and Adam Arkin, who recently did the Nick Cage Pig movie, which is much better than it sounds, they share directing duties on this one. The first 3 of 8 episodes stream from today, and feck it. What can I say? Irish eyes are smiling. A new Andrew Scott series and a new Colin Farrell series dropping for our eyeballs and pleasure. Oh my God, what a time to be Irish and alive. That's Sugar, or Shukra, which is now on Apple TV Plus. I'll get me coat.
Happy Victory Day, madam.
Let's get on with it, please, yes?
ravishing. I mean, the flowers are ravishing.
I just need to be brief for these briefings.
Madam Chancellor, Corporal Zubak. Not nice what they're calling you, butcher. There's a good man in there who deserves love.
The Chancellor has a bit of an infatuation.
He's not dangerous, is he?
The Regime on Sky Atlantic and Now TV from Monday the 8th is a new political satire television miniseries from HBO starring Kate Winslet as the Chancellor and dictator of an unnamed Central European nation clutching to keep control of it all. As she becomes increasingly paranoid of everyone and everything around her, she turns to her volatile follower Herbert Zubak, played here by Matthias Schoenaerts, for advice, only for him to push her to follow her darkest instincts to maintain power. Oh, feck. Will Tracy, who wrote the 2022 movie The Menu, is the creator of the series, and despite some average or below average reviews out there, I'm not minding it at all. What I've seen so far, yeah, it's fine. It's not going to change your world, but hey, it is Kate Winslet. So that's The Regime, which is coming to Sky Atlantic and Now TV from Monday, April 8th. And speaking of falling regimes,
an hour of television can change everything.
Three women and a whippet. Wouldn't have seen that in a BBC studio when I started.
The allegations surrounding Jeffrey Epstein include his friend Prince Andrew.
Sam, let's start pushing the palace. I want it for us.
You're chasing a story that we're never gonna get.
This is the work.
My job is booking the people we can't just call up.
Prince Andrew's Newsnight interview in 2019 was watched by bajillions, where he faced questions over allegations of sex trafficking with Jeffrey Epstein. The accusations and the interview led to Prince Andrew stepping away from his royal duties, amongst other things. Well, Scoop, which drops on Netflix this week, sees Rufus Sewell play Prince Andrew in a dramatisation of this 2019 interview with Newsnight reporter Emily Matlis, played here by Gillian Anderson, and Billy Piper starring as Sam McAllister. This movie looks at how the interview came to be, from Sam McAllister's mission to get the scoop to Emily Matlis's interview itself. For anyone pining the absence of the Crown, this looks like a gripping movie that has all the vibes of the early seasons of Crown, which were actually quite good. So that's Scoop, which is now on Netflix. Three quick recent cinema releases which are now on streaming. One of the year's best, most enthralling and stunning movies, Anatomy of a Fall from France, is now available on Prime Video. You have no doubt heard all the hype for this Sandra Hüller star vehicle as a woman accused of her husband's murder tries to say she didn't do it. Did she do it? Didn't she? And yes, whether she did it or not, it does live up to the hype. And as for French courtrooms, now that, there is a place to be. So Anatomy of a Fall is now on Prime Video. Cat Person didn't last very long at cinemas, and despite all the stress involved in watching it, it is definitely worth a nose now that it's on Netflix. A college student who works at a movie theatre goes on an awkward date with an older man, and well, let's just say, it then all goes to shit. I mean, absolute carnage. Based on the infamous 2017 short story of the same name by Kristen Rupinian, this stars Emilia Jones and Nicholas Braun, and to say it features some of the most sketchy and unlikable on-screen characters in quite some time would be an understatement. But again, something draws you in and holds on tight and the stress gets worse. That's Cat Person, which is now on Netflix. And earlier this year, Disney celebrated the centenary of its animation studio with the film Wish, which is now streaming on Disney Plus, and which follows Asha, voiced by Ariana DeBose, a sharp-witted idealist who lives in a town where wishes can come true if their ruler, Magnifico, played by Chris Pine, allows it to come true. This movie is, full of meh musical numbers, and it's got a bajillion Easter eggs with reference to the studio's history, which at least is a distraction from the otherwise dullness of it all, yes. But at least it'll keep the smallies occupied and distracted. That's Wish, which is now on Disney+.
It has been a hell of a journey. But everything ends someday.
The Discovery is my home. My family.
We've always been able to find answers together.
Being a part of a crew, being where you need to be, when you need to be, that's Starfleet.
Last dance.
I shall follow your lead.
With Star Trek Discovery Season 5 landing on Paramount Plus this week, Captain Burnham and the crew of the USS Discovery head off into the final frontier for one last time. Listen, you're either still invested in this series and will be very sad to see it go, or, like myself, bailed after a very good first season and then many, many, many rocky seasons after. I just moved on to Picard and Strange New Worlds. Anyways, for one last time, to infinity and beyond, make it so. That's Star Trek Discovery Season 5, which is now on Paramount Plus.
If we're in the treble, yeah?
Yeah.
What are you going to do with that?
Surely you've got to go
Netflix.
There is one treble. Premier League, Champions League, FA Cup.
This documentary is going to be the best ever.
Now we're talking.
In one of the most shocking true crime documentaries ever released on streaming, together, Treble Winners takes a deep dive into all the sketchy shenanigans and goings-on behind the scenes at Manchester City and asks those very important questions like, how was financial doping allowed? Where is the integrity? There's only... Oh, it follows Man City and chronicles their 22-23 season. And all the happy... No. I can give you 115 reasons not to watch this documentary. But if you are a glutton for sports washing and dullness and large chips on my shoulders, together, Treble Winners is now on Netflix.
Two local men confronted authorities with a rather bizarre story. The two men told of a strange craft and of being taken aboard by three unearthly creatures.
I was so afraid that they were going to take me away from here and they would never know what happened to us.
Yuba County lawmen called this one of the more bizarre missing person cases they've ever handled.
None of it made any sense.
Places all over this mountain hold mysteries that humans will never understand.
More intriguing and possibly more believable, Files of the Unexplained on Netflix features eerie encounters, bizarre disappearances, haunting events, and more perplexing phenomena as they are explored in this investigative docuseries. Get ready to jump down all the rabbit holes. That's Files of the Unexplained, which is now on Netflix.
Do we even know who is this 4chan person or website?
15 years ago, we were just dumbass kids having a good time sharing jokes and memes on the internet.
Their name comes from their secret website.
4chan.
It was things that you would not see anywhere else online except for there. There was definitely a lot of stuff that was super edgy.
Being totally anonymous gave young people the opportunity to vent their thoughts and opinions without being judged for it.
The anti-social network Memes to Mayhem on Netflix is a new docuseries for the ages. From the rise of QAnon to the January 6th riots, the anti-social network explains how a group of bored teenagers built an online community out of their shared loneliness, but yes, accidentally shattered consensus reality in the process and opened up the biggest can of worms ever on the interweb. More quality rabbit holes to dive into, but a lot more dangerous. That's the anti-social network Memes to Mayhem, which is now all up on Netflix. And for any Vanderpump fans out there, oh yeah, I know you're out there, because there's a lot of yous. In Vanderpump Villa on Disney Plus, Lisa Vanderpump stars in a new unscripted docudrama which follows the staff who work at her French estate, Chateau Rosabelle. Oh, sweet God. The series sees her hand-selected staff experience all the drama, yes, as you'd imagine, of their own making, as they also serve luxury guests. Absolute trash of the highest order that will have some folks pumped and ready for action. And I am not judging a single one of you, I swear. That's Vanderpump Villa, which is now on Disney Plus.
We ridiculously wealthy people are the problem. Starting today, I'm going to give away all my money, all 120 billion.
Molly Wells is here to talk about her new housing initiative, Space for Everyone.
We are on a real mission that is going to help a lot of people. I want you to get everyone into the conference room for a, you know, like a group talk session, like...
Are you trying to say the word meeting?
Yes, that's it. That's the word.
Maya Randolph returns as Molly Wells in the second series of Loot on Apple TV+. Set a year after Molly settles her very public divorce from tech billionaire John Novak, played by Adam Scott, we find her thriving in her role as the head of her philanthropic organisation, the Wells Foundation. Focused mainly on her charity work, Molly has also sworn off any new relationships with men. But, as we have come to expect from this comedy series, this billionaire and her team settling back in with the ordinary folks around them does not go quite according to plan. That's Loot Season 2, which is now on Apple TV+. In the non-English section this week, there is only one place to start, one place to scream about, literally. That is Parasite the Grey, and yes, this is the new batshit Korean horror series. Oh yes, thank you Netflix for giving us all this madness. When unidentified parasites violently take over human hosts, their brains, and gain power, a group of humans known as Team Grey must wage war against this rising evil. Based on the manga series by Hitoshi Iwaki, what's most important in all of this is the fact that Yeon Sang-ho, the creator of Train to Busan and Hellbound, is also the creator and the man behind this series. Oh, another piece of glorious, freaky, horrific, binge-worthy K-horror. You know who you are, and if this all sounds quite insanely dreamy. Oh, bring on the madness. Oh my god, just can't wait. That's Parasite the Grey from Korea, which is now all up on Netflix. The Fable on Disney Plus is a new anime series based on the best-selling manga books. It follows a legendary killer for hire called Fable, who has spent his entire life training to become the world's best assassin. Fable knows nothing except how to deliver a quick death, but after finishing off the year with more confirmed kills than ever before, he suddenly finds himself at a loss when the head of his crime family orders him to lay low and not kill anyone for a year. Suddenly uprooted, moved to Osaka, and surrounded by trigger-happy criminals, Fable will be forced to control his temperaments and adapt to the ordinary if he wants to survive. Yes, probably one definitely for manga enthusiasts everywhere. The Fable is now on Disney+. Coming from Italy and based on an Italian romantic bestseller, The Tearsmith on Netflix tells the story of Nika and Rigel, who are adopted together after a tough childhood in an orphanage. And then, yes, you guessed it, realise that unexpected but irresistible feelings pull them together. Oh, sketchy, steamy windows ahoy! Those Italians. That's The Tearsmith, which is now on Netflix. And finally, coming from Germany, Crux on Netflix sees a priceless coin put rival gangs across Europe at odds. Forcing a retired safecracker to team up with a two-bit gangster for one last heist. Yes, you had me at one last heist. What can go wrong? That's Crux, which is now on Netflix.
You collect rewards, right?
I prefer the term rewardist. Everyone's looking for something.
Sounds cool.
It is cool, actually. Very cool. I'm a professional. This is how I make my living.
How you survive is you make quick, smart decisions. You remain calm. You never let panic take the wheel.
I don't know how to repay you.
Just the reward money's fine. I believe it was 50 grand.
In Tracker Season 1, which is now on Disney+, Lone Wolf Survivalist Coulter Shaw, played here by Justin Hartley, roams the country in his old school RV as a reward seeker, using his expert tracking skills to help private citizens and law enforcement solve all manner of mysteries while contending with his own fractured family. And that's it. Simple mystery of the week that has been a smash hit in the US. It feels like some sort of throwback to 80s TV, and if that wasn't enough, I knew it all sounded very familiar to me, and lo and behold, it's based on the Jeffrey Deaver best-selling novel, The Never Game. Oh, Jesus, yes! Get your ironing out, put the brain in neutral. Beautiful stuff. That's Tracker Season 1, which is now on Disney+. One for all the angsty tweens out there, I Woke Up a Vampire returns for a second season to Netflix. On her 13th birthday, Carmi discovered that she's actually half human and half vampire, and that mythical powers make middle school way more complicated. Classic cheap TV vibes rolling off this one. That's I Woke Up a Vampire Season 2, which is now on Netflix, and in Girl State on Apple TV Plus, which is a follow-up to the 2020 documentary Boy State, the creators ask, what would American democracy look like in the hands of teenage girls? A political coming-of-age story and a stirring reimagination of what it means to govern. Girl State follows young female leaders from wildly different backgrounds across Missouri as they navigate an immersive experiment to build a government from the ground up. Always a fascinating watch and intriguing experiment. That's Girl State, which is now on Apple TV+.
Amelia Brown is my universe.
What up, Chuckles? Could you play some kick-ass final term music, please?
Certainly can, Miss Brown.
Just a little context about me and my best friend. We're part of an ecosystem, food chain. And I hate to say it, but we are at the bottom of it.
How to Date Billy Walsh on Prime Video follows a pair of childhood friends, Amelia and Archie, and goes for that usual rom-com trope, as Archie has always kept his love for her a secret. Ah, yes. But just as he builds up the courage to declare his feelings, yes, you know where we're going here, Amelia falls for Billy Walsh, the new transfer student. Feckin' Billy! Feck you, Billy! Heartbroken, Archie decides to concoct ways in which to keep Amelia and Billy apart. Yes, why not, people? Why not? This British teen rom-com looks like a pretty decent watch, and hey, if it's your sort of thing, sure, what else would you be doing? So that is How to Date Billy Walsh, which is now on Prime Video. And finally on streaming this week, Musica on Prime Video is the directorial debut feature from actor-musician Rudy Mancuso, and which also stars Camila Mendes. A coming-of-age love story that follows an aspiring creator with synesthesia who must come to terms with an uncertain future while navigating the pressures of love, family, and his Brazilian culture in Newark, New Jersey. By the way, yes, I did Google synesthesia, and it's when you experience one of your senses through another. So, for example, you might hear the name Alex and see green, or you might read the word street and taste citrus fruit. This is the stuff you come here for, people. Looks quite cute again. That's two little decent rom-coms on Prime Video. That is Musica, which is also, as I said, on Prime Video. And there you go. That is your streaming for the week. Oh, there is a little, any parents with very small smallies who love a bit of Bluey, or any parents who actually love Bluey, or basically anybody, feckin' any age who loves Bluey. There's a new episode dropping on, just a single episode dropping on Sunday. And then there's a bigger thing happening the week after, and we'll talk about that next week. So that's Bluey, very important. So as I said, streaming, holy crap. Holy crap, it's all there. But don't rest in your laurels, because the cinema, it's fairly feckin' packed too. So let's take a look at this week's cinema releases.
When I was a boy, they took everything from me. The rich don't see us as people. To them, we're animals.
Both of us. We're broken.
Monkey Man is a new action thriller about one man's quest for vengeance against the corrupt leaders who murdered his mother and continue to systematically victimize the poorer and powerless. This is the directorial debut of Dev Patel, who also co-wrote the screenplay, co-produced the film, and stars in the lead role. Coming through Jordan Peele's production company, it will be... It's very easy and lazy to say this is Slumdog Millionaire meets John Wick. And, well, there you go. I'm kind of lazy, and that's exactly how I felt. It also gives off those kind of 70s, 80s kung fu movies vibes as well. An extremely violent tale of the downtrodden taking on the oppressor. So, what can I say? Get in there. It looks great, has plenty of shaky cam, and if action movies with an underlying message are your jam, then this will most definitely entertain you. Possibly, yeah, I'd say about 20 minutes too long at times. It feels like it's trying too hard and attempting to apologise for all the action going on, so it tries to make up with some, you know, slow, ponderous scenes. But listen, we all know what we came for. This is definitely an entertaining evening out that'll have folks pumped and shadow boxing their way through the movie and out of the cinema. So, while not a classic, It's a hell of a lot of fun and an entertaining time for you and all your buddies. So that is Monkey Man, which is now in cinemas.
What are we looking for? We're looking for entertainment. How do I move my audience?
They needed a replacement, and I seem to be the guy who was replacing everybody throughout my career. I never heard of Mill Street, and so the Mill Street is where the Eurovision Song Contest was held.
To go to my opponent's backyard when I'm champion? On St. Patrick's Day weekend. Oh, look at me.
I'd say the only worry that we had was that Collins would get killed.
One Night in Mill Street is the story of Ireland in 1995, a snapshot of a country told through a boxing fight in Mill Street, Cork, between the underdog Steve, the Celtic warrior Collins, and larger-than-life champion Chris Eubanks. Yes, we were all gripped. Back in the day, we were losing our minds. The best sports documentaries, in fairness, are the ones that feel like they're about more than actual sport itself, and this definitely fits into that category. As much the story of Noel C. Duggan, the owner of Mill Street, who somehow got both the Eurovision Song Contest and this fight to take place in Mill Street, as they say in the film, 25 miles from the nearest traffic light, as it is about the fight itself. This will have you enthralled and chuckling away to yourself. Steve Collins' ma describing how they're all singing Simply the Best when Chris Eubanks made his entry into the arena and then being mortified as the whole crowd were losing their minds sing along and they're like, oh no, we're supposed to be the home team here. But this moment captured the vibe and the mood of this wonderfully entertaining documentary. Loved it. Tony Quinn and his woo-woo hypnotism tricks are another interesting side story. And back in the day, I was a huge Chris Eubanks fan around this era and was quite torn as to who I wanted to win on the night. Well, I'm not going to lie. I actually wanted Chris Eubanks to win. But I'm not telling you who won, just in case you actually don't know and you're going to watch it. Either way, the documentary, as I said, caught the mood of a nation quite perfectly. So here's hoping we get that sequel, Mill Street, the Eurovision Times, next. Quality stuff. That is One Night in Mill Street, which is now also in cinemas.
This child is his way.
There's this girl at the orphanage. I think that she really needs someone to look out for her.
Carlita
suffers from a touch of madness.
You must be very careful, Margaret. Bad things will start to happen around her. Evil things.
A woman starts to question her own fate when she uncovers a terrifying conspiracy to bring about the birth of the Antichrist. Oh yes, it's Immaculate 2. Yes, The First Omen is the prequel to 1976's classic horror, The Omen. Oh, Damien, such a little messer, oh my god. And is the sixth movie in the actual franchise. Let's be honest here. Apart from the original, and I say this with hand on my heart as a horror head, apart from the original, this series, despite its fascinating draw of being about the Antichrist, is pretty crap. Never delivered in any of the previous movies other than the original. And you know what? It saddens me to report that this also falls short of my expectations. It's also, as I may have hinted, quite bizarre that this, like Buses, comes out 2 weeks after Sydney Sweeney's other non-Antichrist movie, Immaculate. While I praised that movie for being almost as if it was made in the 70s and having those European horror vibes, this one always felt like a Hollywood horror movie, big IP, colour by numbers, probably had too much money. Oh, lads, too many scriptwriters, I've no idea. Even when it attempts to shock us with some extreme gross-out scenes, it all kind of just feels stitched together. The script is hanging on by a thread, by its fingernails, to the plot of the original movie. Having the Antichrist born in 1971 at least gave me a nice bond with the movie. But overall, it's all predictable, plodding, and not so scary. Just feckin' weird. Oh, and using a Yorkshire man to be the sketchy in the shadows, Father Brennan, with his Derby O'Gill. Oh, Jesus, no. Watch out your back now, there's a monster in the dark. Oh. It'll just take Irish audiences out of it every time. Now that, folks, was true horror at its finest. Oh, anyway. And the funny thing is, if this movie didn't exist and they literally renamed Immaculate The First Omen, everything would be perfect. It would be a wonderful world, and Immaculate would be claimed as the rebirth. Yes, I went there, the rebirth of the franchise. But it's not. This is just a creepy, unsettling Antichrist movie that doesn't deliver and is very generic. It basically stands next to the recent Exodus Believer movie, which both belong in the what the hell is this doing here and why has it been made genre. But you know what? If you're bored, can't find any horrors out there, The First Omen is now in cinemas.
Oh, Domino Pizza.
No, stop it. Stop it. YOLO is a new Chinese comedy drama about Li Ying, played by Jia Ling, who has been staying at home for many years and doing nothing in particular. After graduating from college and working for a while, she chose to withdraw from society, closing herself off from social circles, which she believes is the best way to reconcile with herself, and is getting abuse from her family and friends and parents for gaining way too much weight. One day, after several twists of fate, she decides to live life in a different way, and in cautiously venturing into the outside world, she meets a boxing coach, Hao Kun, and then, yes, it all literally kicks off. I'm going to be honest, despite this currently being the second highest grossing film of 2024, with $479 million worldwide, and is the highest grossing Chinese film in 2024, where obviously most of the $479 was made, this was a delight and a surprise. It all started off a bit TV movie-ish, you know, I was like, what am I watching here? And the subtitles were feckin' flying along at a rate I couldn't even keep up. And then sometimes weren't even there. So I was like, what's going on here? But then somehow, about halfway through the 2 hours, yes, it is 2 hours, it took a turn for the better and was a hugely enjoyable sports and human drama. With some genuinely impressive and original montages, who doesn't love a montage, and some reveals that were extremely touching and came out of nowhere, and some amazing boxing scenes. It was like, what the fuck? I was all in and I was won over. As for actress Jia Ling, who plays the lead in the movie, it's also quite astonishing the journey she was on and has to be seen to be believed, especially as her tale is told through footage over the end credits. Like, amazing stuff. If you're looking for something light, enjoyable and different this week, then YOLO from China may be just for you. And finally, in cinema this week, we have Evil Does Not Exist. Takumi and his daughter live in Mizubiki Village, close to Tokyo, and one day the village inhabitants become aware of a plan to build a glamping site near Takumi's house, offering city residents a comfortable escape to nature. Hailing from Japan and directed by Ryosuke Hamaguchi, who gave us the Oscar-winning Drive My Car, this tale of small communities and nature versus corporate entities and their sprawl has been receiving insane reviews everywhere it's landed and is defo one I'll be catching over the weekend. Giving off some eerie vibes, I'm all in for this one. Very exciting stuff. So that is Evil Does Not Exist, which is now on limited release in cinemas. And that's your cinema. Take a pick. So many to choose from. Just go for it. I think there's one definitely you shouldn't be choosing, but I will not direct you. You can direct yourself. Looking at some new music this week. Oh, it's a full slate, people. It's a full slate.
We're lonely dancers. Join me for the night. We're lonely dancers, baby. Dance with me so we don't cry. We're lonely dancers. There's no need to hide. I know the answer, baby. Dance with me so we don't cry.
Yes, yes. Bopping along, singing a song. Found Heaven is Conan Gray's third studio album. Pure pop bangers mixed in with some quite beautiful ballads. What's not to love? So there, get your ears all opened up. Get them de-waxed, if that's what you do. Is that what people... Anyway, I'm going to shut up now. I'm just going to focus on the music. That's Conan Gray and his new album, Found Heaven, which is now available on your various streamers. But if that's a bit too upbeat and funky for you, let's bring it down. Let's bring it down a bit for another legend who has an album out this week.
I got tired of sadness. I got tired of all the madness. I got
got tired of being a badass all the time. It's only survival, only not dead upon arrival, only ahead of every rival that we find.
Revelator is the sixth studio album from folk rock super duper star Phosphorescence, and his first new album in 5 years. Leader of the pack, Matthew Hook, returns to take me away to that most special place. Ah, yes. Assisted by Jack Lawrence of the Raconteurs, I'm not going to lie, I am truly excited to be swept away by Alabama's finest and get prepped for his Whelan's gig later in the year. That's Revelator from Phosphorescent, which is now available. And we, Nordy Davey, if you're listening, we'll always have that night in the Workman's. When you kept sending up drinks to the lads and then you couldn't get rid of them. They just kept hanging around, so we decided just to bond all night. Beautiful times. Beautiful, wonderful times. A few other quick shout-outs. Griff, who recently played a wee cracker of a gig at the Olympia last week, returns with Volume 2 of her Vertigo EP. While Part 1 was the sad, moody and emo one, things have taken an upbeat turn on this one and we are ready to dance. So that is Vertigo Volume 2 from Griff. And also this week for people of a certain ilk, Vampire Weekend, Only God Was Above Us, is their fifth studio album and has some people happy. I was never really a vampire head. What can you do? And the Black Keys, someone else who, yeah, they've always been around, but apart from one or two songs, never really had them. They have a new album, their 12th studio album, Ohio Players, releases. So both coming to the Tree Arena at some point, and both releasing big albums, and I'm sure they're very well, but I'll be skipping them and focusing on the other gang. And that is your music for the week. Oh, what a week. Between streaming, between movies, between music, folks, it's bananas and pajamas out there. I don't know how you're going to find the time, but just keep going. We have to get through this together somehow. Okay, I think we'll take a quick look at three things we noticed in pop culture this week. First up this week, according to Deadline and the Hollywood Trades, the Fantastic Four recently had its sights set on who will play the Silver Surfer. And it looks like they have their man. No, wait. It looks like Marvel are gender swapping the role and looking to cast the absolutely amazing and wonderful Julia Garner from Ozark. She looks set to join Pedro Pascal, Vanessa Kirby, Joseph Quinn and Ebon Moss-Bachrach. And that is assuming she accepts it, obviously. Her version of the Silver Surfer is Shala Baal, who exists in the comics but not as the Silver Surfer outright. Funnily enough, Lakeith Stanfield cryptically tweeted at this news. Thought it was going to me, but you know, I guess. Maybe he was in the running, but I'm not going to lie, the box office performance of Haunted Mansion and the Book of Clarence may have kiboshed that idea. Either way, all I'll say is interesting times ahead as this movie finally gains momentum. Sticking with Disney, for anyone who was following the chaos going on behind the scenes on the Disney board with activist investor Nelson Peltz and Ike Perlman lurking in the shadows, attempting to get a seat on the board and upset Bob Iger, well, his bid after a shaky few weeks for Bob ultimately failed. This proxy battle has been getting pretty nasty in recent weeks with mudslinging from both sides, and it was kind of almost resembling a US election. Dirty tricks campaign was a bit mad. But alas, it was all for nothing. Peltz and former Disney CEO Jay Rowlow failed to secure seats for themselves on the board and slinked away with their tails between their legs. While this is a big moment and win for Iger and his board, who are attempting to re-steer the ship after, let's just say, a shocking couple of years for Disney, he's not out of the woods yet, as he now needs to deliver on his promise of getting Disney back to the top of the pile where it once was. And with him leaving in 2026, he needs to find his successor and get it right this time, because the successor he chose last time, Bob Chapek, was replaced by none other than, yes, himself, because he had to come back. It was all gone so badly. Shocking. Shocking stuff. Anyway, Disney, they'll be happy this week, and now let's see what happens. Finally this week, The Matrix 5. Yes, that's what I said. Despite its extremely dodgy Part 4. And I mean, oh, that was so disappointing for both fans and its box office performance. It's been given the thumbs up from Warner Brothers based on an idea pitched to them by Drew Goddard, who did Cabin in the Wood and Cloverfield. And he's also set to direct. Will it be a prequel about the creation of The Matrix? Or maybe a sequel? Will Keanu and Carrie-Anne Moss return? Or will it simply just be a reboot? Who knows? But proving that this here Egypt never learns, I'm all in. Show, sign me up. I'll be at the, yeah. And then I'll just look at the screen and go, I can't believe I've done it again. But anyway, that is The Matrix 5, which has been given the green light from Warner Brothers. And there you go, an absolute belter of a week. It's done and dusted. I feel like it's time to bring this, what feels like a director's cut of the podcast, to an end. This is David O'Callaghan for the Here and Back Again podcast. Wishing you all the best, and until next week, stay safe and binge happy. me. Is this on? Well, hello there. Hello there, post-credits traveler. Welcome yet again. I know, gets weirder every time. Yeah, you know what you're getting. You're getting absolute nonsense. You're getting rambling tales and a meandering look at the beautiful mind talking shite. Today we're going to ask the very important question. Very important. It's on everybody's lips, or fingertips, to be exact. To blue or not to blue? It seems that a lot of folks are kind of freaking out this week because Elon and the twit decided, feck it, we don't need the money. If you're popular and have a shedload of verified followers, then whether you like it or not, you're getting a blue tick without having to pay for it. What's funny is the absolute chaos this caused. Folks were freaking the hell out. People were calling out their heroes, calling them sellouts for getting these blue ticks back. Followed by a lot of explaining by those important people that it wasn't me. It just appeared. And then them demanding it taken off. And then when everybody discovered that they had been given blue ticks, the whole Twitter world lost their minds. As someone who will never ever have to worry about a blue tick, I don't know why, but this whole chaotic carnage that is sitting there, this huge first world problem, it kind of just amused me. It just caught my eye. And to tick or not to tick, it seems like Elon definitely doesn't need the money and started this charity of handing out the blueies to his most popular friends and enemies. Yeah, all very interesting. Did you get a blue tick? Do you want the blue tick? Are you even on Twitter? Are you on one of those other random places that I can't even remember the names of? I know, it's all a bit weird. It's all a bit of a nutting burger, but at least it'll keep us entertained for a while until they disappear again or become a different colour. Yep, these are my random thoughts, and I've no idea why they popped into my head. Well, I do, because I was checking on one of my gig lists on Twitter, and I saw a bit of carnage and thought, oh, there you go. Anyways, these are the risks. These are the risks you take in the post-credit world. Shite or not shite? 95% shite. And as for our departing track this week, well, going for a bit of old-school drama, a bit of an old-school cracker. Yeah, who doesn't love some Carter, the Unstoppable Sex Machine? Those crazy kids. What a time. What a time that was. Lads, you know what you gotta do? Just take it away.
Hello, good evening, welcome to Nothing Much.
I know, I can't shut up. Did you know that there's a thing going around called the 100-day cough? You shit me. This is a real thing. Insider knowledge. I went to the doctor and he gave me an inhaler because it's people are catching it all over the gaff. And here's me wondering why I've been coughing for months and ruining my podcast. The 100-day cough. It sounds like some Parasite the Grey thing that's going on. Anyway, just thought you should know if you find yourself coughing for quite a while. I don't want you to self-diagnose, but at least you'll know you're not going mad. So and there you go, the 100-day cough and mankind. They'll be telling tales in the future, dystopian future of, yes, mankind was brought down by, not COVID, but the 100-day cough. No one saw it coming. Yeah. I didn't see that coming either. I'm going. I should go now.